the ADVFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the ADVFN podcast, episode 241 on the podcast today. The Duchess of Technical Analysis, Nicola Duke charts, Marks & Spencer, ASOS and Vast Resources. Plus, have the broker forecast and the micro macro news. But first, you know, every morning I work at a radio station on the breakfast show. And this morning we were sitting there in the studio and it's surrounded by four windows either side there. And we were looking out and it's a fourth story sort of studio. And a thick, dark, grey, depressive blanket of cloud and rain, quite heavy rain as well. It's like a winter's morning. Really was dark, you know, no light, no natural light almost. The sun couldn't be seen at all under the thick covering of cloud. And I looked at the weather forecast and it said, brighter later, sunny spells, highs of 22. And I thought, really? This can't be right. They've got this wrong. Cannot be right. This muck in the sky can't be transformed in a couple of hours to sunshine and a high of 22. And right now, as I sit here this afternoon, the sky is pretty much blue, the sun is out, there's no rain. That is a bit like the markets at the moment. Just when you think it's just, you know, depressing, there's no end to this Greek tragedy, and also the news from China, the volatility in the equity markets, just when you think it's going to continue and there's no bottom to this market, that's when we see a bottom. When everyone capitulates and think, oh, I'm getting out of this market in the summertime, it's a waste of time. That's when you see a bounce, honestly. And I've seen it before. And even now, psychologically, I think there's no end to this depressive news stream that we're having. You know, there's going to be no agreement reached between Greece and the Eurozone at all. You know, markets are going to grind lower. Oil prices are low. You know, commodity prices are low. They'll keep grinding lower as long as China continues to slow down. But just when you think that, there's a bounce, you know, and that's why time in the market is better than timing the market. You know, but you can do both. Today I bought more shares in Royal Dutch Shell. And part of me thinks I'm insane. It's the price is grinding lower. Then I think about it and think, no, I know full well. In a year or 2 years time, a long-term investor, the share price of Royal Dutch Shell should be above where it is, because right now it's at a historical low, and I'm looking at the moving averages on a monthly chart, and you know, and it's oversold. And so every time it's done this, it's pulled back up. But right now, while I'm buying more Royal Dutch Shell this morning, it's like the, you know, the weather. What am I doing? I'm compounding losses here. But what I'm really doing is averaging down to, you know, leverage up for future gains. And it will turn round. You've got to think optimistic. Not be foolish, but just be optimistic. Cautiously optimistic. That's the phrase of the day. Be cautiously optimistic. Don't check out. And joining me on the podcast is the Duchess of Technical Analysis. It's Nicola Duke. You like that?
Hello, I like that.
Yeah, I thought I couldn't call you Duke because the Duke is a male.
That makes me sound all posh though.
Yeah, well, you are a little bit, aren't you?
I wouldn't
say you're common as muck,
it's
put it that
relative.
Way.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, okay then.
Cool. Well, it's, you know, it's a volatile week. We got the Greek thing, we got the Chinese equity markets, and so let's take a look at the broad view. Let's look at the FTSE 100, for example. I think we're now over 8%, or around about 8%, below the intraday high of April, which is 7,122. And we're at, as I'm looking at it, 6,525 on the FTSE. Where's the support here? Because obviously you got round figures. It was a little support to 6,600. It broke that. And now it's going down. So you'd think, where's the next support here? 6,500, is it?
Yeah, like it's a little bit lower. There is some support at last week's low. I'd like to see that hold. Really, the major support is at 62.30, and which is a long way from here.
Wow, I don't
think
that is,
just
yeah.
Go there. I don't think we'll just drop there in a straight line. But it is all pretty bearish at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the 20-day moving average is crossing the 200-day. Which, of course, is not a huge... Well, it's a sign, of course, but, I mean, it's not a huge sign. It's not very bullish. So you think, what, 60 what? 63? Was that 63 what?
Yeah, I think we're in a correction, and I think 62.30 is probably where we'll end up.
And how do you work that out? Because I'm looking at dips now. Back in October last year, there was two spikes down to 6,200.
Big Fibonacci level, the January lows. But I'm basing that on Fibonacci. Okay. But I will say that last week's low was a pretty good level for us to bounce off and go back and test, you know, that mid-month gap.
What was last week's low? What was that then? That was
in the futures, that was at 64.42, 64.44.
On the futures,
there.
Right? Because the FTSE itself, on the FTSE itself.
That's why I didn't pay the price instead of.
Oh, okay.
I think that last week's low and yesterday's low have potential to hold. I think we could get a tradable low for a bounce this week, and we. In the futures, could go back to about 6,700 from here.
Okay, because at the moment,
I don't have my cash chart up, but I'll.
Yeah, last week's low looks like to me, sort of 65.20 actually on the FTSE.
Okay, so a little bit higher then.
Yeah, so we're on 65.24 at the moment, 25. So about 4 points away from that low.
In that case, I think we could see a rally to about 67.50 from here.
Okay, cool. Well, at last.
At last. And some relief. And, you know, if we got above that and kept going, then we have the potential to retest the highs. But, you know, it's midsummer.
Yeah.
We might have to be patient.
Well, do you know what? I don't know why. I spent a couple of minutes looking at the FTSE because it was dropping, and I came up with this figure. I don't know, 64.10, I thought. I don't know why I came up with that. It's basically a 10% correction from the intraday high of April. And I drew a couple of lines, and I saw this, you know, around support on that. So that's what I'm putting my hat on. 64.20, some of that. I don't think we'll get to 64.
There, yeah. Around there, we should find our legs. We're definitely set for a bounce here, and then how high we go will determine whether we can. You know, I think if they can do a deal for Greece, obviously.
Yeah.
Panic will be off, but it looks awful, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does at the moment. Yeah, that's always the way, though, isn't it? You know, the markets bounce, you know, at least when you expect them to. When it all looks completely bleak and the picture looks like it can't be turned around or salvaged in any way, that's when the markets bounce. You know, when people are starting to capitulate, isn't it? That's when the market bounces.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So buy when there's blood in the streets.
Yeah, exactly. So listen, and two of my stocks that I'm getting hammered on. Are big players.
Oil.
Exactly. Royal Dutch Shell and BHP Billiton, which are iron ore. In fact, BHP are in oil as well, and Royal Dutch Shell. Now, oil, it's gone down something like 11% since June, since the June high. So, you know, it's taken a hammering because we've got this Iran. There's a couple of things. There's China. The rig count went up, I think. For the first time in 28 weeks, the rig count went up a little bit.
Yes, and it looks like it's making a little bit of a turn, and that is bearish.
Yeah. But there's also Iran. Apparently, this deal with Iran, if they get this nuclear deal with Iran sorted, that they prevent them having nuclear weapons, then they'll lift the sanctions on Iranian oil being sold to the Western world. So that brings on bigger supply, but they don't know if that's going to happen yet. So there's that threat, and the China slowing down, of course. So it doesn't look that good for oil. But where do you see oil sort of support level at?
$50, and we're at 52.40 now.
Yeah.
So there could potentially be some support there.
Yeah.
But the US dollar, you know, the US dollars look set to rally from here. It might not go all the way. It might just be going back and, you know, fooling with us. It's summer. There's a lot of range trading. But across all the FX market, the dollar, US dollar looks strong. So all the commodities priced in US dollars are going to be weak. So when the dollar is strong, you know, gold, unless, you know, barring other sort of geopolitical things, when the dollar is strong, gold is weak, and commodities priced in dollars are weaker. So, you know, it is downward pressure on all of the commodity space.
Yeah.
The dollar's rising like this.
Okay.
And I'm not sure whether that's the safe haven bid because of Greece, you know, and the dollar and the yen is being bought, or whether the dollar trend is resuming again, so we'll wait to see.
Okay. And but oddly, didn't the euro didn't take a bigger hit as people thought, did it, on this no vote?
Right,
so that was an odd thing, wasn't it, really?
I think a lot of the trading in the DAX has been hedged in the euro. There was, you know, there were ETFs advertising to anybody who wanted to sort of front run the ECB QE, that, you know, they were offering them currency hedged ETFs and stuff. So I think there was a lot of hedging in the euro dollar.
Okay.
And also, it's also a very crowded short in euro dollar. So a lot of people are long the dollar already versus the euro.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that's probably why it was more muted. And certainly in other currencies, you can see it quite clearly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to some individual stocks here. Let's start out with a couple of companies big companies had results. Let's start off with, do you want to start with ASOS or Marks & Spencer? What do you want to go with?
ASOS. Let's take a look at ASOS, which didn't have a good day, did it?
Well, do you know what? They're down. I mean, it's not good at all today. But they're down 3%. But their figures aren't that bad. I mean, the revenue's up by 20%. And like I said, they are overpriced. But they are the most successful stock ever on AIM. You know? It's like if you'd put a grand in these when they first floated, you'd have £163,000 now. So that's not a bad return, is it?
You know what? I quite like this chart. I like this chart. It filled that horrible gap, you know, from the warehouse fire and all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
It came back and it tested that, it came back in April and it tested that sort of 3.390 level that we like. And since really the end of April, May, it's just gone sideways, consolidating.
Yeah, it's banging its head on that 40 quid level, isn't it?
Right, but without selling off. And when it holds a level like that but just consolidates sideways, it's usually a sign that it's getting ready for a move. And yeah, I think it just needs, you know, the 200 day to catch up a bit, which that's still down at, what is it, 30?
Yeah, 30 quid, 30 pounds.
30.50 at the moment, isn't it? So I think that needs to catch up, and it, you know, it could potentially keep going sideways while it waits for it without, you know, holds price. But obviously, if a move gets going and it gets above 40-50, I think that we could see the uptrend continue.
Yeah.
I like that it hasn't pulled back. I like that it's in that gap space from the big warehouse fire in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks all right. Even though it's had a bad day, it doesn't look too bad.
Is there a way of telling? You know, I mean, is it impossible to tell how long it will consolidate for? Is there, you know, is there a way you can use on technical analysis to look at time frame, for example? Because it could consolidate for next, you know, year, couldn't it? You never know. How long does it consolidate for?
No. They don't. They normally just like sort of wait for. It sounds silly, but they wait for the moving averages to bunch up, and then it'll usually go again.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, sometimes they just do. I like Fibonacci timing, but that's quite complex for most investors. So.
And that's basically Fibonacci on its side, isn't it? So you go across that way.
It is.
Okay.
But I think dips back to sort of 3.5.
Yeah.
Should be good support.
Yeah. So buy there if you want to buy again.
And
it breaks
above 4.10. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Marvelous. Well, let's move on to a Marxies, Marks and Spencer's MKS. Of course, ASOS was ASC ticker. This is MKS. Now, I've not looked at the fundamentals, but they came out saying this clothing wasn't as bad as we thought, and food is strong as always. So they're not sparkling, Markles and Sparkles. They're not sparkling, but their share price has done well since the lows of like down to 4 quid in October last year. And they hit the £6, hit the head on the £6 and actually get knocked out a bit and come back to 5.40, which are at now 5.42. But what is that? Is that a Head and Shoulders? What is that?
That's a Head and Shoulders. A very nice Head and Shoulders. Starts from the beginning of April.
Yeah.
Moving averages are rolling over. The neckline is around sort of 5.30. Any break below that, or I would say probably a break below yesterday's low, is going to send us back to 500.
Yeah, £5. Yeah.
And probably 475.
Okay, so it's
where a great buying opportunity. The 200-day moving average is around 500.
Yeah, 498.
It should get some support there. That's also the 2014 high. So, you know, take a look at 497, 498. Mark that on your chart. Put a price alarm on that level.
Mm.
and when it comes back there, see if we can get some support.
Yeah. And yeah, it's that
but for right now, no.
Yeah, it's not that important to the movie average, isn't it? It's almost like, you know, do you know what? A lot of the time, even on this chart here, you could have bought when it crossed that and you'd been fine. And, you know, oh, it did touch it again. It did come back. It pumped through that, come back and touched it, and then just went back up from 456 quid. So, you know, nice little rise there. Cool. So
I would say don't be in too much of a rush to buy this one.
No.
From the sort of 2008 low, it's been in a sort of rising channel.
Yeah.
If we come all the way back to the bottom of the channel, potentially, you know, yeah, we could see, it could be mean 475. So,
okay. All right. Well, let's go to a Tiddler. This is Vast Resources, VAST, and very popular amongst private investors. They're a mining company. They have two assets I'm aware of, I think. One in Zimbabwe, one in Romania, I think. And they released a positive update on where was it? They said that they're going to start their first, pickstone pillar. It was in Zimbabwe one. They're going to start, they're on track for the first pickstone gold in August. They're going to start mining that. So they've zoomed up here. They went from under 1 pence, like almost 0.75, up to almost 2 pence, then came back. So can you measure that? Is that a Fibonacci? Is that classic Fibonacci there? It's come back from that... I mean, how much of a drop is that?
I've got a whole spot on my chart. Just let me... yeah, you can. I actually quite like the look of this. It's done some quite nice bottoming.
Yeah.
It
shot up, didn't it? 1.93. Came back to 1.25. Now it's back at 1.7. So it's... And that was in the last couple
this
of weeks.
This is still bullish, though. This has, like, moving average support. It's rolling up. Mm-hmm. It's got support from the previous lows in 2014. It does look pretty good to continue higher from here. It's having a bad day today, obviously, and you know, trouble in the commodity space will weigh on miners and commodity related stocks, so it might need a deeper correction.
Yeah.
It could make an ABCD, so it could make two swings lower, but it's got really good support at 115.
Yeah, 115. Okay, cool.
115.
Yeah.
And that's the 50-day moving average.
I see, yeah. Okay, marvellous. All right, then.
Take a look at that. But I like it. I actually like it. It looks supported.
Yeah, it's unusual to see that whip back up. Yeah.
Yeah.
That high, come back and whip back up quickly, almost back, nearly back to that high.
Was, yeah. Yes. Not much of a retreat. That's a good shallow retracement. So it retraced 50% of the rally. Looks good.
Cool. It's vast. VAST. Cool. Marvellous, Nick. All right, well, that's nice. And are you busy now? Can you chuck me the charts over and I'll put them on?
I can chuck you the charts over. I'm sorry, I've been a bit lax with that. And I'm sorry, yeah.
No, that's all right. That's brilliant. So it's within Vast, which you like. Marxies, no wait. Check it out. Put an alert on about 5 quid. ASOS, you quite like. It's consolidating, but you quite like that. So that's nice.
Yeah, it's holding its level and consolidating. You know, when it's bullish, if it goes sideways, but it doesn't retrace too much, that's a pretty good sign normally.
Cool. All right, Nick. Well, listen, you can follow Nick at Nick Trades on Twitter or click the link here on sharepickers.com. Speak soon, Nick.
Okay, bye.
Okay, it's time for the micro-macro news. Here is the macro news. British industrial output unexpectedly rose thanks to strong oil and gas production, but manufacturing fell, underscoring a challenge for Finance Minister George Osborne before Wednesday's budget statement. Industrial output rose by a monthly 0.4% in May, beating all forecasts. However, the figures showed up the weakness in much of British manufacturing, something Osborne has said he wants to tackle in his budget announcement. France, here's a turn up for the books, will do all it can to keep Greece in the Eurozone because allowing it to leave would be too risky. Too risky, the Prime Minister Manuel Valls said. Who's he? He's not the I've never heard of him. Manuel Valls. Or Valls. Is he? I've never heard of him. Isn't it France's Hollande? Isn't he the man? I don't know who that is. I'll have to Google that. The basis for a deal exists, he said, ahead of emergency Eurozone summit. However, Germany is warned against any unconditional debt write-off. Athens has been urged to make serious proposals as Greece... Well, of course it's going to be serious. We wanted to make serious proposals, yeah? Not clown around. Greece risks defaulting on its €323 billion debt. Greece's banks are staying closed today and tomorrow. That's got to be heck of a... In the eye of the storm there, aren't they? You imagine this country, banks shutting down, you know, because they have no money. It'd be panic on the streets, wouldn't it? I mean, it's a scary situation if you are in Greece. Mainland China, Chinese shares have fallen further despite measures from the government aimed at stemming the sell-off in the volatile markets. Over the weekend, brokerages and fund managers vowed to buy stocks helped by the state-owned margin finance firm, which in turn would be helped with liquidity from central bank. State media said 21 brokerages had put more than 128 billion yuan, that's £13 billion, into a stabilisation fund to meet their weekend pledges to support the market. And here's the micro news. Here's the good news. ASOS posted a 20% rise in retail sales in the 4 months ended 30th of June 2015 and said its sales for the full year should be at a higher end of the 15 to 20% guided growth range. Do you know what? I owned ASOS. I bought them about 28 quid, I think they were, and they went down to about, I think, about 18 quid, come back up to about 29 quid, and I sold them. I either made 50 quid or lost 50 quid. But I looked at the figures in their PE. But, you know, some companies, you can't judge on PE levels, price earnings ratio, because ASOS, the most successful company AIM has ever seen. So it's in a league of its own, and it doesn't conform to any, you know, metrics that we put to it. And the same with companies like Rightmove as well, the biggest, you know, major competitor. The major competitor in the market, the dominant player. So literally, you've got to sort of up their PE rating a little bit, you know. ASOS is like trading on a PE of 60, something ridiculous. But yet, the share price still flies. Cineworld reported total year-on-year results revenue of 11.2% in the first 26 weeks of the year, with the movie theatre group buoyed by increased ticket sales in most of the countries it operates. Robert Walters, the recruitment specialist, posted an 11% rise in second quarter net fee income despite currency headwinds and sounded a confident note in its full-year outlook. Pub operator Cheers, brewer Young & Company, said it started the year well with strong house sales, good acquisition returns and economic momentum. The UK government has reportedly planning to sell half its stake in the Royal Bank of Scotland, worth £16 billion within 2 years of a possible first sale in September. I do think George is struggling to, you know, is it £30 billion he needs to cut? I think he's struggling to find that money, isn't he? We'll find out tomorrow in the budget, but I think he's going to try everything. Women's wear sales were hit bad by... Sorry, I misread that. Women's wear sales were hit by bad weather. It's amazing what a comma can do. In the first quarter at Marks & Spencer, but were better than city analysts had feared, contributing alongside a strong performance from food and a return to international growth to produce a 1.8% total growth in the period. Renewable Energy Generation has signed a construction contract with Dewey Renewable Energy for its new solar project in Cornwall. Nice. Construction and outsourcing firm Interserve said its results were on track in a trading update today. National Grid had commenced a programme to purchase ordinary shares in the capital of the company between the 7th of July and the 20th of July as part of its management dilution resulting from a take-up of its scrip dividend. Eagle Eye Solutions, maybe you want to watch, the retail promotions and voucher specialist with ex-Tesco boss Sir Terry Leahy on its board, has inked a contract of material size with Sainsbury's and said its revenues soared by 165% in the year to end June. And here's the bad news. Stagecoach lost the contract to run the Southwest Trains franchise beyond February 2017, despite management's confidence about extending it until at least April 2019. Got that one wrong, didn't they? Omega Diagnostics shares were hit hard by the allergy and disease testing company's admission that field tests of its much anticipated Visitech CD4 test for infectious diseases were likely to be delayed by a stability issue. And here are the broker forecasts. Here's the upgrades. Investec has upgraded Lloyds Bank to hold, price target 86 pence. They're that already, aren't they? We'd say hold them there. Yeah, I never understand that, really. Just hold them. Yeah, you got them? Yeah, at his expense? Yeah, hold them. I am. Just hold them. Don't sell. Just hold. Canaccord Genuity, meanwhile, has upgraded Lloyds Bank into a buy. Price target £1. I think they're more than the ball. I would say that because I hold Lloyds. N plus one Singer has upgraded Connect Group to buy. Price target £1.50. Canton Fitzgerald has initiated coverage of Wincanton with a buy rating. Price target £2.20. And Morgan Stanley has upgraded BAE Systems to overweight with a price target of £5.70. Just hold them. Yeah, just hold. You own them. You own them, yeah? Just hold them. Just hold. Okay. Don't sell them. Just hold them. Don't buy any more. Just hold. Downgrades. Citigroup. Sorry. I've overdone that. Has it? Just hold them. Oh, what am I doing? I'm insane. I'm sitting here on my own laughing to myself. Downgrades. Nothing worse than that, is it? It's making yourself laugh on your own. Downgrades. Citigroup has downgraded BT Group to neutral. Price target £4.85. Investec. Next three downgrades for the same company. Can you guess what it is? Investec has downgraded Rolls-Royce Group to sell. Price target £6.50. JP Morgan Cazenove has downgraded Rolls-Royce Group to underweight. Price target £6.40. So there's £6.50, £6.40. Espirito Santo Execution Noblesse downgraded Rolls-Royce Group to neutral. Price target £8.45. They're that at the moment, pretty much. So, you know, who's right? Investec, JP Morgan, or Espirito Santo Noble Execution? Gosh, listen, lads, chop that down, yeah? Just something like noble. That'll do. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Don't forget, don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation on the podcast, as it's only opinion. Please do your own research. And do you know what? I'd really appreciate if you can go to iTunes, give me a rating and five-star review, or five-star rating and review, a little write-up of what you do when you listen to the podcast, something very simple. And by all means, sign up to the newsletter, sharepickers.com. Once a week, I send out a stock pick. It's a company I've bought myself, pointing out why I bought them. And also, if you know of a possible 10 bagger stock, then click the link on the sharepickers.com, and it'll take you 5 minutes to fill out the form, and I could be featuring that on the next podcast. By the way, if you do a review on the podcast, then I'll read it out tomorrow, because I've covered them all so far, and I'll dedicate the podcast to you. Thanks for listening. Speak tomorrow.
The ADBFN podcast with Justin Waite.